The Ringer's music critic Rob Harvilla curates and explores 60 iconic songs from the 90s that define the decade. Rob is joined by a variety of guests to break it all down as they turn back the clock. Check out 60 Songs That Explain the 90s exclusively on Spotify.
Psst. Hey, I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to an extra episode of Ringer Dish. I'm Juliette Littman. I am here with my Ringer Dish and Bachelor commentary comrade, Amelia Wedemeyer. Hi, Amelia.
Hi, Juliette.
We are here to discuss the tragedy that unfolded in Houston this past Friday night at the Astroworld Festival. We are specifically going to talk about the kind of Kardashian angle of it all because it's been a big focus. And, you know, they're really famous. So when they're involved in something so tragic, it's pretty notable. We'll talk about how the extent to which they're involved and all that. But I also just wanted to say we're really going to focus on that because this is Ringer Dish where we talk about celebrities. For more on what happened at Astroworld, what is currently known and sort of what this means for Travis Scott and in general, kind of the concert economy, check out the Ringer Music Show with our colleagues, Justin Sales and Charles Holmes. In fact, after Amelia and I chat, you'll hear an excerpt from their conversation on this very podcast, and then head over to the Ringer Music Show to listen to the rest of it. They're talking about sort of the music and the industry angle of it. And, you know, I think everyone's sort of trying to still piece together what happened. And overall, it's just incredibly sad. And the first thing before we get into it is just sending our thoughts and best wishes for all the families of those who died and were impacted by this. It's truly tragic. I can't imagine
it's
what
horrible.
It's like. I can't imagine, like, as a parent for, like, your kid to go to a concert and they die. I mean,
yeah.
It's just so terrible. Something so quotidian, and it's just awful.
It's, yeah. I mean, I was reading in the newspaper this morning that there's, like, a 10-year-old is in, like, intensive care, which is, like, insane. That's insane.
I know. So it's just so sad. Hearing the firsthand accounts of what it was like for people at the show, I've never experienced anything like it. So I can't imagine the fear people felt when they are basically trapped in this crowd. I mean, it's just unbelievably tragic. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah, it's horrible. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure they talk about this on the Ringer Music Show, but, you know, he's kind of known for inciting crowds to go crazy. And, like, there's that meme of him. Have you seen that meme where it's like,
no.
He's going, and he's holding a microphone up and there's, like, fire in the background. And it's like,
interesting.
Yeah. It's like his whole thing is, like, getting people to go crazy. And, like, he's gotten in trouble about it from before. So to me, his words have just, they ring really hollow, to be honest.
Yeah. So he's known for kind of creating a frenzied and chaotic environment. It has live shows, and there's been some previous incidents, including someone jumping off a third story balcony. And that person, I believe, ended up paralyzed. And it's just, you know, it's just terrible. I think Justin and Charles do talk about sort of what Travis Scott shows are known for. And so they'll get more into that. I also will say, I don't know what you've been reading, Amelia, but I think the coverage on Vulture and Rolling Stone sort of aggregating everything that's known and kind of, like, keeping up with the information as it becomes available has been really impressive. So I'd encourage you all to check those out. Anything else you've read that you think has been really good?
Yeah, I echo your Rolling Stone and Vulture. I also, there's, like, a piece on Travis Scott from Rolling Stone. It's like a profile from, like, a year or so ago. And it just kind of goes into why he's so popular with young people, like, you know, teens and people in their early 20s. And because, like, I don't know about you, but I don't really know him other than being Kylie Jenner's baby daddy.
Right.
I don't really listen to his music, but I know he's like super popular with you know, people in Gen Z, and he, you know, his like McDonald's meal
right
sold the most out of like any other McDonald's meal, and that like includes BTS.
Why is he so popular, Amelia? Like, what did that article posit?
Okay, to be honest, I have not read all of it, but I read some of it. But I think he just it's like, you know, a good time, and that's kind of what kids want.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, he's wildly popular, and like he is like a Jordan collab. I think that those are like incredibly hard to get, the sneakers, and really popular. I like his music. I just don't really know it that well because I'm old. And also, like, you know, just listening to show tunes for like the last like 3 years. But I
can't blame you. Yeah.
But he is also very famous to me as the father of Kylie Jenner's daughter, Stormy. They are together in most of the articles. Kylie is referred to as his partner. And she's currently pregnant. They're having another child together. And so the reason we're talking about her is because she and her sister, Kendall Jenner, were at the show on Friday night. They were in like a VIP booth, and there's quite a bit of video footage of them at the show. I also, by the way, didn't realize that Astroworld was like a recurring festival. Like, I'm so out of the loop, but I did read up quite a bit about it now.
Yeah, I too thought it was just like an album, and like Stormy had a birthday party that was like based on it. I was like, okay, cool.
I know.
These people so make uncool. me so angry that I don't like I'll start things about them and then I'll stop reading because I get really angry.
I'm similar. I've talked about this a lot on Jam Session and also a little bit on Bachelor Party. I really, really resent the success of the Kardashians and the Jenners. Mm-hmm. I specifically resent some of the success of Kylie Jenner, who's made a ton of money off of her cosmetics. Her lip kits in particular, I think are very popular because they, you know, they have the benefit of private chefs, private trainers, and surgery, and, you know, and cosmetic enhancements that cannot be achieved through contouring or
it's wild
lip kits. And so I find the dishonesty unbearable. And I think that like, and I find the ubiquity of them unbearable as well. But I think that's a big part of this story. So sort of what we wanted to talk about is kind of what the reaction has been like in the media to the focus on Kylie and Kendall's, you know, involvement in this. And then also kind of how the Kardashians tend to respond to, for them, what's probably like a crisis moment. But I just want to be clear, like, though we will use that language, I don't mean it to be flip. Like, we think this is, a true tragedy and really feel for all the victims. So anyway, going back to Friday night when the show happened, Kylie and Kendall are there. Kendall is not wearing a mask. I'm not really here to judge that.
Of course not.
But I'm not really here to judge it. It's outdoors. I don't know. Maybe she's vaccinated. No, I went to an indoor wedding this weekend, so I'm not here to judge. But
no, that's okay.
I feel fine about it. Like, you know, I think, you know, there people noted that, particularly because Kylie is wearing a mask. And I thought it was interesting that that became like a somewhat of a focal point. But Kylie's also pregnant. So it like makes sense that a pregnant woman would be taking extra precautions, you know?
And there's been a lot of controversy over whether these people are vaccinated, actually. Like, Khloe Kardashian's like, I'm vaccinated, but I've gotten COVID twice, which, listen, I don't
know. Who knows?
It is. It totally is. But there have been rumors about her not being able to go to things because she wasn't vaccinated. And I could honestly see these people not being vaccinated, just like having this feeling that they're above it all and that they don't, you know, get sick or whatever. But I don't want to put words into people's mouths. And
also,
I
have no evidence one way or the other. There's rumors that Kylie didn't go to the Met Gala because she wasn't vaccinated.
Right.
I don't know if that's true at all. Kendall went and everyone was supposed to have a vaccination card for that. So I don't know. But anyway, TMZ had this whole long, what I initially called thorough post about Kylie.
It's just really long.
Kylie and Kendall, there's footage of them at the Astroworld show. And in it, Kylie like looks sort of like just like a little dour, but like Kendall is very like effusive and dancing. And then it's like, it's really a very long post by TMZ standards, like analyzing all of their body language. And a big question that has emerged in the last couple of days is, what did Kylie Jenner and what did Travis Scott know? Because Travis Scott continued to play for, according to the Houston PD, 40 minutes, and according to others, an hour and 15. So it's a little unclear, but he continued to play through the chaos, even though at various times he stopped to ask security to get involved. And as it relates to Kylie, crucially, she posted an Instagram, several Instagram stories from the event, and one in which you could see an ambulance driving into the crowd. So she has also on Sunday released a statement. Amelia, why don't you read to us Kylie's statement?
Okay. Travis and I are broken and devastated. My thoughts and prayers are with all who lost their lives, were injured or affected in any way by yesterday's events. And also for Travis, who I know cares deeply for his fans and the Houston community. I want to make it clear we weren't aware of any fatalities until the news came out after the show, and in no world would have continued filming or performing. I'm sending my deepest condolences to all the families during this difficult time and will be praying for the healing of everyone who has been impacted.
So this statement came on Sunday morning, and which is about, you know, 36 plus hours after the event. And on Saturday, there was a lot of conversation about like what Kylie knew, what Travis knew. And, you know, I avoided most of the videos. I personally didn't want to watch the videos of people dying and getting trampled. But I did watch the clip she posted where you could see the ambulance driving through the crowd.
Which she deleted,
which she since deleted, right? Although Kendall left her Instagram up from the
festival. Of course she did, because Kendall's the dumbest one of all. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump out and be like, but she's just like, she is so insensitive. She is not a good, out of all of them, she enrages me the most. And she has like this
history of true insensitivity.
It's like wild.
Pepsi commercial. And yep. Sort of saying like, we didn't know, Pepsi commercial implied that a Pepsi could solve racism. It was absolutely insane. But there's been a lot of conversation about what Kylie did and didn't know, particularly because you can see the ambulance and the Instagram. And I find that sort of fascinating because like, I don't care what Kylie did or didn't know. I think that, you know, sort of the demeanor after the fact is like as important. And at the time, I don't think it doesn't really matter what I think, if like what she could or couldn't know. I think to me, a lot of like the big question is how they respond and show humanity after the fact. So I'm just sort of curious, like, what did you think about the emphasis on what she knows and like, and all that?
Well, I think, you know, it's so easy to bring her name in because she's, I would say, is more famous than he is. And I think a lot of people, like, not to say like everyone's like me, but I think a decent amount of people like my age, your age, probably do know him best as the father of her children or her child right now. And it is unfair to kind of be like, what did Kylie know when she was just at this concert? I think there was really no way she probably could have stopped it, you know, in terms of like, it's not like she could go like wave a flag and go Travis or call him or something. But like you said, it'll kind of depend on how she handles all of this. And, you know, I don't know exactly what that'll be. I don't know if that means like breaking up with him or if that means, you know, donating money or, you know, I don't know, using her platform for a way to kind of change the culture of these large concerts. But I think it's unfair to kind of blame her.
I agree.
You know,
because it's like to make her the focal point, I also think is bizarre. And that was one of People Magazine had a post or a headline. That said like Kylie's fine, right? Like what did it say?
It was like a tweet and it came out on the 6th, so 2 days ago. And it was pregnant Kylie Jenner uninjured after Travis Scott Astroworld incident leaves 8 dead, says source. And they deleted it because people got really upset, obviously. It was just like, wow, people died and you're concerned about how Kylie Jenner is doing when we all know that she was, you know, in the VIP section. Exactly. Like nothing was ever going to happen to her, you know?
Right.
And she was there with Stormy too, I think.
Yes,
And so it's just, you know, I mean, again, it's not really her fault that People Magazine made this headline that was really insensitive, but
it just speaks to the coverage of them though, right? Like
totally, yeah.
It's like this, we use this word to describe the concert atmosphere, but I did. it's like this like frenzied attention to the Kardashians that like that that perpetuates this cycle where, you know, people focus on them instead of this tragedy. And it's just like, I have found it really bizarre to, and it's not every, not all parts of the media, obviously, but I think another piece that's sort of like, is important to acknowledge there is I can't speak to the source of People Magazine. I can't speak to TMZ sources either, but Kris Jenner has always been rumored to cooperate with press to get the type of coverage that they want. And
especially TMZ. Yeah.
Particularly TMZ. And so on this one story, that is, that talks about, what they did and didn't know from TMZ, there was an update at the top of it from today, I believe. This is sources with direct knowledge tell us Kylie, like Travis, had no idea as what was happening in the crowd, and to think otherwise is both unfair and inaccurate. We're told Kylie's heartbroken by Friday's events. Excuse me, I believe that's all from Saturday, or excuse me, it's all from yesterday. And so, you know, I made me wonder, like, who was their source on that, that like read this long, thorough article and like issued like a statement to the opposite, you know,
Kris Jenner,
right? Yeah. I know, or like
it's definitely her or one of her many assistants.
Yeah, like do I think that Kris Jenner called someone to like to make sure that it was clear? But no, probably representative from their camp reached out to TMZ, and they do have a I believe a working relationship based on everything I've read. So
she has like a direct line to Harvey Levin. I would not be surprised at all. You
sure,
know?
Although we don't know that for sure.
But we don't. I'm sorry. I don't mean to assume, but
no, we don't know that for sure. But it, you have to wonder, like, how much the Kardashians are involved in controlling some of the like
the narrative of it all.
Yeah, and like the stories that are less reported, that are more like anonymous source says X, Y, and Z. And so that's
right.
And so then that's why I think some of it does become relevant. It's like it's not just like, you know, I'm not someone who like blames the media. But you have to wonder, because they're so notorious for controlling their own storylines through their TV show and through working with tabloids, like what is the message they were trying to convey in the immediate aftermath of this, right?
Right. Well, and I find it interesting too, like, do you remember when recently Courtney had an incident on a plane with Travis Barker's phone?
Yes. She couldn't
find Courtney, who is Kylie's sister, had like a meltdown on a plane, and that made headline news. But then like right after that happened, like literally a day after, she got engaged to Travis Barker. And to me, that just, and there was a rumor going around saying that they moved up the engagement because it was like really bad press about the whole phone incident. Mm. And I know that sounds so conspiracy brain, but I really wouldn't put it past.
The only reason I don't believe that is because I believe they filmed the engagement for their next TV show.
You
with
think,
Hulu.
Okay, sure, maybe. I don't know.
And they did it at the Rosewood Miramar, which like, or the Miramar, whatever it's called. And I just feel like it wasn't at one of their homes. So it was very orchestrated. Maybe they moved it up, but
I could see them moving it up, honestly.
Interesting.
It's they just were
very,
fast.
Very hard to take anything that happens with the Kardashians as like happenstance, coincidental.
Like organic.
Yeah, exactly. And so when Kendall leaves her Instagram up, and Kylie doesn't make a statement until Sunday that is like acknowledging all the negative press, you just have to wonder, like, what's the crisis management that's going into their, like, you know, their moment to moment. And it's so, I just find it like so maddening and just so unsurprising that the optics is how this narrative has been directed from the Kardashian side of things versus focusing on, you know, what happened or just bowing out or like making yourself invisible at this time. Like that would be ideal to me.
Well, and I do think in a way, because there haven't been any statements from anyone else inside their clan, it's like they are trying to minimize what they're putting out there and trying to minimize their personal impact on what is happening in the situation. And which, I mean, at the same time, is kind of valid in that, you know, it's not like they were inciting a riot or anything or had anything to do with that. So I guess that's kind of the best you can kind of do in this situation, I would think.
Yeah. I think that, you know, offering your apologies and acknowledging sort of the tragedy and then just becoming invisible would be the best thing. But I also noticed today there's like new information about Kanye and Kim's SNL appearance from last week. And I'm just like, all right, how did these end up on TMZ today? Like, who planned that? Because, like, do we have to know about Kanye's new girlfriend today? Probably not. Do we have to know that her...
Well, I think... Yeah, I think it's them trying to mitigate absolutely. On very low levels, but enough to make the news and people to be like, oh, maybe I will click on that and think about that, you know?
Yeah, and making it clear that there's other stuff going on too.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. It's just like, I just like really hate the Kardashian family. I really do.
No,
I'm just so resentful of their celebrity when they repeatedly just kind of pick the wrong road.
It's frustrating.
Road. Yeah.
Yeah, it's extremely frustrating. And yeah, it's also interesting, and I was actually having dinner with a friend and we were talking about this briefly, but I was shocked that, I mean, I feel like this is such a default is to like donate money. And, you know, I would hope that they donate money to the relief fund or for the families who lost loved ones. And, you know,
I don't know if they're doing anything, but Travis Scott is paying for funeral costs for everyone and they're reimbursing everyone who attended the show.
OK, but, well, that's good. But yeah. Also, my friend brought up that could be seen as like kind of an admission of guilt,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is because, you know, there are definitely going to be lawsuits. And I mean, there are lawsuits. Yeah. So I don't. Oh, my God. I don't even know.
That's
where
true.
To go like, from there, kind
like,
of
like kind of they get knotted up in some of the Travis Scott aspects of it. But
right.
I do think that like it just felt like with Kylie's statement and the fact that it took a while and Kendall left her Instagram up that like it feels like a lack of humanity and just like it's such an emphasis on the
which
wrong
is like not
aspects.
Surprising.
No, it's not surprising at all. It's just so frustrating that they're still so famous and people really still care
about
them. Will
forgive. Yeah, no, I know. It's kind of, it's sad. And it's also just like really indicative of their fan base. You know, the really hardcore fans who will just really will stand by anything they do. And
I know.
Do it shamelessly, which is like kind of astounding. But
I know. And just none of this, the bad aspects of their fame seem to impact their industries. It's very strange to me. I truly don't get it because I've never really been that interested in them. I've always found them so contrived. It's like mm-hmm. hard for me to understand how we even got to this point because it is crazy. Like you were saying, Travis Scott is so popular and so is Kylie Jenner with a generation behind us. And it's like we fundamentally don't get it. And it's such like a weird disconnect. It's very strange to sort of it makes me like wonder kind of the power of a certain aspect of social media that I don't necessarily resonate with me.
I mean, again, it's so frustrating and I hate to admit this, but it legitimately makes me angry. And that's like, that's why I stopped reading that profile. Like, it just makes me really angry. And I have to just not continue to feed into it with the clicks and everything, you know? And
yeah.
I'll be honest, like, have I bought Skims before? Yes.
I heard Skims are good.
They are, but it kills me. And I really should not ever order ever again. But it's, you know, again, they get you because then they make decent products.
Sure. Well, I also do think that one thing that's sort of a problem probably for many of them is that, you know, a lot of their fame is staked on their family aspect. And like, this actually doesn't necessarily have to do with Kim Kardashian. This doesn't
necessarily
do with Khloe or Kourtney. I mean, Kendall was there. But to your point, like they stake so much on quote unquote family and their various relationships, even though
I think
at the time that, you know, the show on E! Wrapped up, they kind of said that they actually don't see each other that frequently outside of filming.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or I think it kind of depends. I think like Kourtney maybe goes a long time without seeing her sisters or whatever.
Hmm.
But so much of what they do is just based on this image that they've very carefully cultivated. And so as a result, when there's a crisis like this, like, you know, we were like, let's talk about the Kardashian angle to this, though it's Kylie Jenner. It's not even her last name. But
right.
It's like almost like
she's
like,
so synonymous with.
Yeah, it's partially because of the TV show. But like the industry of Kardashian is just like so massive that when it intersects with something like this, it's like very hard to overlook. And I think the reason that we're ultimately talking about it is because they just handle it so poorly.
Yeah. And I mean, again, it's always going to be a focal point,
yeah.
You know, for better or for worse. And it is really interesting how they have maintained this kind of, like you were saying, one big happy family kind of thing. And we'll stick by each other and everything. And I'm interested in how I don't know how you come back from all of this in terms of like Travis.
Yeah. Anyway, I hope that they just disappear and do the right thing quietly. So
yeah.
On that note, let's hear from Charles and Justin for more on what happened at Travis Scott's Astroworld and the horrible tragedy. I'll be back on Jam Session later this week, and Amelia will be on Tea Time, and also check us out on Bachelor Party and the Rare Reality TV podcast. And now here's Justin and Charles.
Travis Scott has built his brand on raging. He has one of the best live shows in America. I saw his show at MSG, and quite literally, when I went to that show, that's in, MSG, you're blown away by the energy of him, the energy of the crowd. The ground does literally shake at a Travis Scott show. Justin, have you ever seen Travis Scott live?
I have never seen Travis Scott live. The closest experience I have to this is back in a previous life when I was a DJ, as I like to say on the show from time to time. But it was right after Antidote came out, and I was playing this show that was about, I'd say there were about 1,500 people there. And Antidote had been out for like a month, and I dropped it, like knowing that the song was catching some buzz, not really even knowing how popular it was at that point. And just watching this entire field full of like 1,500 people, like get so amped up as soon as it dropped, singing along to every word. And then when that beat drops right after that, right in the middle of that first chorus, just watching the place explode and feeling the ground shaking, just being a DJ playing his music. So his music causes that type of reaction even when he's not playing it live in person. This is the kind of music that he makes that just gets people to explode like this.
Yes. If you've ever gone to a Travis Scott show, there are mosh pits, there are people crowd surfing. He invites people up on stage. They jump into the crowd. There is a cult of Travis Scott fans who, when you go to these type of shows, it is a raucous affair. And for those that don't know, Astroworld is this festival. He named it after his third studio project, and it's been a festival for the last 3 years. I believe they took a year off because of COVID, where it's essentially a Travis Scott bonanza. He is the main performer, but he gets all of the people in Travis Scott's orbit, all of the artists similar to him. This year, Roddy Ricch performed. I think SZA performed. Drake came out at one point during Travis Scott's performance. Astroworld, if you are a Travis Scott fan, this is the mecca for you. But right now, I kind of want to get into what we know so far about what transpired on Friday night. So on November 5th, 8 people were killed and hundreds of people were injured at this 50,000 attendee event. Part of the cause seems to be this out of control crowd surge where many concert goers were crushed or trampled. Justin, for the listeners who don't know, can you kind of explain what a crowd surge is? Because it's not a mosh pit. A mosh pit is essentially what happens when, you part a crowd and people are smashing into each other. And I've seen a lot of people being like, oh, mosh pit, this and that. But a crowd surge is different.
Right. It's where the energy is just so much that it's just the mass of bodies all pushing forward, most typically toward the stage. And it's not like any organized thing. It's not like a mosh pit where, like you said, which is, mosh pit's not exactly organized, but it's like a distinct thing that's broken out from the crowd. This is like the huge portion of the crowd, if not the entire crowd, all pushing forward in one direction. And this is actually a conversation that I was having with my girlfriend a lot this week, and she attended a lot of festival rave type events in her day. And she talks a lot about during crowd surges being lifted off of her feet because the pressure from the crowd was so much. And she was often felt like she was in perilous situations because she didn't know what was going to happen. She had no control over where her body was going at that moment. She was just in this sea of people. And that's, to the best of my knowledge, what was happening here.
And a lot of the reports have said, like, generally when you're in a crowd surge, I've been in a crowd surge. A lot of times it happens in the beginning when an artist comes out sometimes it's their biggest song, or if like they bring out a really, really huge surprise act. And generally it's from the back to the front. Everybody's trying to get closer.
Right.
From a lot of the coverage, it seems like this surge was coming from all sides. Like it was coming from the sides, from the back. And a lot of people just did not know what was happening. Donovan Davis told Rolling Stone, he was at the event, that, quote, everything was normal up until when Travis posted the time he was going to get on stage. That's when it just got wild. The crowd was moving so violently that people fell on top of us. And when they fell, people fell on top of them. There was layers and layers and layers of people falling. The concert was stopped by Live Nation 30 minutes before schedule, but 40 minutes after, quote, the mass casualty event took place. Houston officials are still investigating the night while concertgoers continue to come forward with their accounts. But Sylvester Turner, the mayor of Houston, told the New York Times that we had more security over there than we had at the World Series game. And reportedly, there was 505 event security, 91 armed private security, and 76 Houston police. The Times also reported that the Houston police chief visited Scott's trailer before the festival and, quote, conveyed concerns about the energy in the crowd, according to a person with knowledge of the chief's account. In the aftermath of these casualties, Travis Scott released multiple statements. He said on Twitter, quote, I'm absolutely devastated by what took place last night. My prayers go out to the families and all those impacted by what happened at Asher World Festival. Houston PD has my total support as they continue to look into this tragic loss of life. Travis also canceled his performance at the upcoming Day in Vegas Festival, and organizers are refunding all Asher World concertgoers. According to a statement via CNN, Scott will also pay for the funeral costs of the 8 victims and provide free mental health services through BetterHelp, which, according to their website, offers access to licensed, trained, experienced, and accredited psychologists. And right now, as of our recording, which is on Monday, November 8th, over a dozen lawsuits have been filed. So and there's a lot that, what were you going to say, Justin?
And I said, and those have been filed against Travis Scott, Live Nation, who was the promoter, NRG Park, where the festival was held. Also Drake, who was, some of the lawsuits named Drake, who was the surprise guest that Travis Scott brought out.
But right now, for the purposes of this conversation, I think I want to go to what we don't know. And what we don't know is a lot.